This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here now with Professor Alan Hood of the University of St Andrews, and he's given a plenary on the wonders of the solar atmosphere. So thank you very much for joining us, Alan.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to start to ask, because the sun is made up of a lot of different layers, at what point do you really consider it to be the atmosphere of the sun?
Basically, when you look at the sun in white light, and of course you should never look directly at the sun without the aid of an instrument, what you see is the so-called surface of the sun. This is the photosphere. That is at a temperature of about 5,000 to 6,000 degrees. As we move up in height, the temperature actually starts to rise. And then eventually, once we go through the region called the chromosphere, we come to a region where the temperature rises extremely sharply, called the transition region, and then we reach the final level of the sun's atmosphere, the corona, where the temperature is about a million degrees. So it's a very big puzzle to understand how the temperature can rise as you move away from the sun.
Why is that? Because you thought as you move away that it would...
Well, exactly. You would imagine that as you move away from the source of the energy, that's the nuclear core, that the temperature would continue to drop. So there has to be a mechanism by which the solar atmosphere is heated up to a million degrees. And that's one of the major puzzles still in solar physics, to try and understand exactly what is causing it.
Okay. Are there any theories at the moment as to why that could be?
There's several theories around just now. And what we do know is it's linked to the magnetic field. The magnetic field is very important in the solar corona, and it dominates the dynamics and the thermodynamics of the atmosphere. So we know that the regions where the magnetic field is stronger is hotter. So it's definitely linked to the magnetic field, and there are a variety of theories that are trying to explain why that is the case, but there is no consensus as yet.
There's no consensus. Are there any projects sort of directly aimed at any observations?
The observations are really very impressive nowadays, and you can look at the latest images from the sun at temperatures from 10 million down to 1 million down to 10,000 and so on.
Oh, wow.
They're all online, and the thing is, the amazing thing is, you can actually look at them.
You can go and look at them.
There's a variety of websites, there's a variety of apps for smartphones as well.
Oh wow.
So there's one called 3D Sun, which works on a smartphone, and it will give you the pictures of the sun taken 1 minute ago.
Oh really?
Absolutely incredible.
Is it using a spacecraft? I assume it's
Yeah. It's using the information from the Solar Dynamics Observatory, the SDO, which was launched in 2010.
Okay.
And it's producing full disk images of the sun every 15 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And that data is being streamed down to the Earth, and then it's possible to access that. It's freely available.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
Earlier you said that magnetic fields are really important in the solar atmosphere. Are there any other effects from the magnetic fields that we can see?
The magnetic field can give rise to instabilities, and we will often see sudden eruptions and sudden brightenings in the solar atmosphere. The sudden brightenings are solar flares, and they're very, very energetic events. They're amongst the most violent explosions in the whole of the solar system. And as a consequence of that, we quite often see a lot of material that's blown off from the surface of the sun. This can head out towards the Earth and can actually hit the Earth's magnetic field and will eventually cause the aurora. These eruptions are called coronal mass ejections, or CMEs for short.
Okay, and that's caused by differences in the magnetic field?
That's normally caused by the magnetic field becoming unstable, and it just erupts outwards.
Okay, and is there... Because I know that there's a cycle of solar activity. Is that also linked to the magnetic field?
Yes, that's very much so. I mean, there's the solar dynamo, or the which has about an 11-year cycle, and that's due to the way the magnetic field is generated much deeper inside the sun. But although there's this 11-year cycle where the number of sunspots increases and then decreases, these coronal mass ejections are continually being ejected from the sun. So it's not just directly linked to the solar cycle. The number of CMEs per day is linked to the solar cycle, but there are still CMEs erupting even when the sun's quiet.
Okay, so it's not just not just the huge ones that we hear about on the news.
They're happening all the time. They're happening all the time.
Oh, wow.
And you wouldn't want to be an astronaut out in interplanetary space when these things go off.
And I guess there's quite a lot of high energetic particles that are...
There's a lot of energetic particles, and it's actually quite a major problem to understand why they've been accelerated to the speeds that they've been accelerated to. They often say that if some of these highly energetic electrons are to hit other spacecraft or satellites, they can actually destroy them.
Oh, wow.
So just because they... charged particles as they hit the spacecraft will cause discharges inside the spacecraft and destroy the electronics.
Yeah, so it's very important to.
So it's quite important, and I mean, you can take evasive action if you know these things are coming. So there's a big branch of solar physics that's called space weather. This is all about trying to make predictions about when these major eruptions with the fast particles are going to actually hit.
Okay. Are there any telltale signs, like advanced warning?
There's some advanced warnings, and certainly from the active regions, the sunspot regions, we have a reasonable idea of which ones are likely to flare.
Okay.
But the actual timing and the direction that it'll go is not always easy to predict.
So it's still
a little bit of hit and the miss. But there are models that people have tried to model the magnetic field all the way from the sun out to the Earth, and they have actually tried to make predictions as to whether these disturbances would hit or not.
Do they tend to follow like a straight path, or do they sort of?
No, they tend to follow a spiral path. So
okay.
It's a little bit like if you're swinging a garden hose with water coming out.
Okay.
Because the sun is rotating, these eruptions tend to follow a spiral path as they come out.
Wow.
I mean, it's very difficult to get across just how exciting the sun actually is. You imagine, compared with other stars in the universe, that it's fairly quiet and it's fairly miserable. But actually, it's unbelievably dynamic. And there are the possibilities of a really major eruption that could cause major effects to our technology.
Oh, well, like a really huge...
Right, a very, very large flare. Back in the 1800s, there was an extremely large flare called the Carrington event, in which the aurora were actually seen down almost to the tropics. And had that occurred in these days, all of our computers would be destroyed.
Like
more or less.
More or less,
for
them just
more or
completely
less.
Destroyed.
And the other problem is that it would knock out the transformers on the power supplies.
So it would go without
power.
Yeah,
well, we would lose all the electricity.
Wow. So our sun is a lot more dynamic than you
expected. Sun can be a lot more dynamic, but luckily, so far, it's behaving quite nicely.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for stopping to talk to us.
Hi.
Yeah, thank you.